Thank you, Lord. Amen. That's right. Bless the Lord. Another great day to be in the kingdom. Amen. And in the household of God. Hallelujah. As we're standing, we're just going to go ahead and pray. I just thank God for being here this first Sunday in 2018. Thank you, Lord. Father, in the name of Jesus, we just come before you right now, Lord. We thank you, Lord, for your goodness and your grace. You allowed us to enter into this year, Lord, and we don't take it for granted, Lord, but we know that it's for your purposes. So we say, let your will be done in us, God, as we enter in further and further, God. Help us to enter into you further and further, in your way of doing things, into your principles, Father, that we might be able, hallelujah, to magnify you and live lives, God, that are, Lord, just draw others unto you. For you said if you be lifted up, you would draw all men unto you. Help us to be a drawing force. Hallelujah. Help our faith, our love, our walk to become contagious to those around us, that they might be drawn unto you. Help us, Lord, when they see us, they would see you. Help us to disappear, God. Lord, that you might be made manifest in us. Lord, we just thank you right now. We appreciate you. Lord, and we say, let your will be done in this place. Lord, help us to hear and receive all that you have for us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Be seated. Are you glad to be here this morning? Amen. I know I'm glad to be here. Hallelujah. Because it wasn't promised. Amen. But the Lord delivered. Amen. We're going to release our children this morning. Are they going into the classrooms? Amen. And receive instruction from their teachers. Amen. We thank God for those that, you know, invest the time into our youth. Amen. The young and the teens and, you know, just building them up and helping them to understand kingdom principles at their level as they grow in God. Amen. And we as the adults, amen, that remain, amen, we have a job to do. Isn't that right? You know, we got to represent Christ for them. Amen. And our responses and our actions, you know, even as they were, you know, she was talking, you know, about the giving, amen. We got to give everything to God. Not just, you know, someone said, what? Not just 10%, but we got to give him 100%. 100% of ourselves. 100% of our living, amen. If we think we just leave God a tip on Sunday morning and we go on and do the rest, no, we give him it all, amen. And that, because that 10 represents all, you know, and we got to realize that, amen, that, you know, when we count in what? Measures of 10. 1 to 10, then we start over. 11, then we go on another 10. So we count, we do everything in measures of 10, amen. And so that 10, even the scripture lets us know if the you know, that is holy, the 10% is holy, so the lump is holy, it's all holy, so we make it holy unto God, and not just our money, but our living, amen, holy unto him, amen. So we thank God that we can enter into a kingdom, amen, where we can find there are results, amen. So as we look into this year, amen, we had a good time on last Sunday evening, ushering in the new year. Amen, and just worshiping and praising God and magnifying him. Had a few testimonies, amen, just talking about the goodness of God, amen, and we shared some words just to encourage us, and some of what I'm going to cover this morning will be kind of a recap for those that weren't there, because, you know, as we launch into this new year, amen, we like to have a theme for each year, and this theme, as you can see, is Kingdom First. That's what the KF18, amen. Can you say that with me, KF18? Just to remind yourself that it's kingdom first in 2018. Amen. And, you know, last year, amen, our theme was what? Sold out. And you know what? We're not abandoning that because, you know, in order to really put the kingdom first, you got to be sold out. You know, right? It's hard to put the kingdom first if you really ain't sold out to the kingdom. Amen. If you still riding on the throne of your life, amen, then you first in the kingdom got to come second or somewhere down the line, amen. But if we would get to that place to realize that I'm sold out to him, I'm sold out to God's way of doing things, his principles, now we can operate it with a kingdom first perspective, understanding, amen, the kingdom agenda. You know, there's all kinds of agendas, amen, in our lives around us. Some of us got our own agenda. You go to your job, they got their agenda. There's the government has their agenda, amen. But you know what? Which agenda overrides all of them? Kingdom. Amen? And we got to realize that, amen. So there's a lot. I'm excited, amen. I keep saying it because I am. I'm excited about this kingdom perspective that we're going to be just digging into as we go throughout this year, amen. God is really going to help us, I truly believe, to wrap our minds around our purpose, amen. And the only way we can understand that is really begin to understand how his kingdom functions, how his kingdom operates, and really embrace the fact that the kingdom is here. Amen? You know, and as Pastor Nunn was talking about our Bible study, this, you know, we kicked off a series on last Wednesday, amen, talking about the kingdom agenda, amen. So we're gonna get it left and right. You're gonna hear it over and over again, amen, because I want to really get it in our spirit, amen, to understand, see, because kingdom is going to really help us. Because anybody have a challenge last year really being sold out in every area? Come on, let's be real. I mean, you know, you just don't say it, I got it. No, but you know, things come up. But see, the more we understand the kingdom, the easier it is to be sold out. Because we begin to see the benefits. We begin to see God's way of operating and his promises and how real and how true they are as we really begin to dig into this area, amen, of understanding him, his purposes. Even before we got here, he already had a plan. Amen. Now he's so loving and gracious, he's included us in that plan. You know, the Bible said no man comes unto what Christ unto unless what? He draws him. He drew us to himself. Amen. And I don't know about y'all, but see, I tried to run. Did anybody try to run from God when you knew you was tugging on your heart? Come on, let's be real. I mean, I'm not the only one chicken in here, amen. But I tried to run because I knew it was going to require something of me, you know. And, you know, I was trying to do my own thing. But my own thing wasn't working very well. But even though I didn't want to admit that to myself, I was still trying to do my own thing. Amen. But I love God so much because he chased me down. Amen. And he got me, amen. You know how you got to, you know, you go hunting and you corner, you pray. He cornered me, and I have no other choice but to surrender. Am I the only one in here? Nope. All right. I had to surrender, amen. And when I surrendered, I realized I shouldn't have been running in the first place. Because he wasn't trying to kill me. He was trying to save me. He was trying to help me. He was trying to get me to a place, amen, to where I could experience life on a whole new level, amen. And that's what he wants for every single one of us as we get to the place, amen, to really embrace him fully. And then the other thing that we're looking at, amen, is the 90-day challenge. How are we doing on that? So I say, what 90-day challenge? Actually, we call it a 90-day fast, amen, because, you know, before we did the 21-day fast, right, the Daniel's fast, and, you know, that was a little challenging, right? Anybody had a challenge with the 21-day fast, doing the Daniel's fast? Amen. How do you cook this weird food? How do you cook? How do you get by with no meat? Huh? And you can't have no butter and no dairy, and you know, you can't eat no regular bread, and you know, all this. It was just, boy, we it took your diet. Come on now, come on, somebody, you know. But we realize, amen. But I was saying that this fast that we've started off now is completely different, and it's even more challenging. Amen. Can I get an amen?
Amen.
Because it's a fast from negativity. Speaking negative words, embracing negative thoughts, engaging in negative actions. I mean, and that's about everything. You can't talk negative about the church. Can't talk negative about the government. Can't talk about President Trump negatively. Woo! See, I done messed some of y'all up already. The altar's open. Amen. Because, you know, it's really, because negativity comes so natural. Come on, let's be real. That you have to really think before you speak. You know, one of the biggest places we got to capture that negativity is about ourselves. Stop being so negative about you. Negativity is when you say, I can't. when God says something completely different about it, he said, in the script, he said, I can do all things. What? Through Christ Jesus. Do you have Christ Jesus? Then that means you can. Huh? I mean, so that settles it, right? Everybody didn't agree with that. They're like, because if I say it's settled, then that don't give me no out. We got to get rid of the outs, amen. So this 90 days, if you really embrace it, amen, and the more we embrace it and walk it will change your life. Because who wants to go back to being negative after being positive for that so long? You say, wow, it's over with. Now I can just start talking crazy again. No, we're not going to do that, amen. So it's not, the 90 days is just to get us primed so we can do what we're supposed to be doing anyway. Because do you not know that the kingdom is not a negative place? Amen. We should be the most positive people on the planet. Why? Because we have the greatest hope than anybody on the planet. Amen. So no matter what comes against us, our hope is not in what we see or what we feel. Our hope is in the Word. Our hope is in Jesus. Our hope is in the salvation of our Lord. Amen. So, yes, there are negative things in the world, but guess what? We don't have to be one of them. You should be the most positive person on your job. They're to get sick of your positivity. It should get to a place, amen, it gets contagious. Well, if I can't beat her, I'll just join her. Yeah, it is a good day. You know? That's the way we got to be. We got to get to that place, amen, where we've broken the yoke of, you know, and one thing I say, you know, we do not want our lives to continue to be plagued with negativity. Amen? So by the time we get through this time, I'm look around and we see nobody in here got that plague. Amen. I use that word on purpose because we can be plagued with negativity. Every thought, every word, every action, amen, just trying to overtake us and take us to a place that Christ does not want us to be. You can't be the light, amen, if you're full of darkness. Right? So it's purging that stuff out of us so that now we can be the people that he wants us to be. Amen. So like I said, as we go through this, amen, we want to get a better understanding. Amen. And, you know, I was looking, I sent a thing out to our leaders group because today we start going through the book of Psalms. Amen. One chapter a day, amen. And, you know, just giving some thoughts, amen, sharing that. And as we go through Psalms, you know, I feel like there's no better book in the Bible to be reading through while you're trying to be positive, excuse me. Amen. Amen, because as you're reading through Psalms, amen, we're going to hear some ups and some downs, but it all points back to what? God is able. Amen, so we got to make up our minds. So if y'all want to join on with us, amen, we're going one chapter a day and just begin to read, amen. And it's 150 chapters in Psalms. Amen, so we'll be there for a minute. Right? And I was looking at it, and I said, let me just see, because we all know that Psalms 119 is very lengthy. Amen. Most of us, amen, who've been in the 119th Psalm know it goes on in 172 verses in that one Psalm. But it balances out because there's seven that only have three verses. So when you rejoice on that day, you endure on the 119th. Amen. Someone say, well, can't we break it up? No. That's all in it. Some days you got to put more in because you're going to get off light some other days. Amen? Amen? But as we look at this kingdom first principle, amen, it means putting everything. I was talking to the men yesterday morning at our men's prayer. And when we talk about kingdom first, that means kingdom come before you. It comes before our feelings, and it comes before our emotions, it comes before our excuses, it comes before our busyness. It comes before everything, amen, because we were created for the kingdom, but we find ourselves getting busy and overwhelmed, and, you know, all the stuff of the world that we've engaged in encroaches upon us, amen, so much so that we don't have time to function for the kingdom. But when we really understand kingdom, we can do all those other things from a kingdom perspective. It doesn't mean you can't do them, but it's how you do those things, how you see those things, how you process everything from a kingdom perspective. And that's what we really want to grab as we dig and go through this. But, you know, what is a kingdom? Anyway, you know, just think about it. He's God's way of doing things. He's got a way. I thank God for the teaching on Wednesday as Dr. Tony Evans said, man. He was talking about how that, you know, we all have our little kingdoms, right? And I like one of the parts he was talking about, man. You know, when you have grown kids and they come back home to stay for a while and they think they can come home and do what they want to do because they're grown, right, Priya? See one of them. She come to visit mama, amen. Well, I'm grown. I got my own car, you know, and I got my own bank account, and you know. But when you come in my house, you just came back into my kingdom. You just came back into my realm, amen. So your rules don't apply. You know, your way of thinking don't apply in this kingdom unless it lines up with this kingdom, right? You know, and we've had those skirmishes with some of our grown children, amen, in times past, but you know who usually wins? Well, no, I won't say usually. Who always wins? The king of my castle, me. Why? Because it's my kingdom. You know, and God's kingdom is the same way. If we come into the body of Christ, we come into the kingdom, but we want to bring our rules. And we want to do things our way. You know, and we get upset with Daddy God when he don't, come alongside and endorse what it is we want to do. And we want to change the game plan because we've had a taste of the world outside the kingdom, but we want to be in Daddy's presence, so we come in his presence and we bring all that with us. And he looks at us and said, no, baby, that don't work here. Not in this house. Not in this kingdom. And that, you know, that's why we find ourselves, you know, as the term that was used was, we find ourselves in a kingdoms in conflict because your kingdom is in conflict with his kingdom. Amen. And we look around, amen, and there's so many kingdoms in the earth, amen, but in all of them, globally, we're in conflict with the kingdom of God. You know, and I thank God because the scripture lets us know his kingdom reigns forever. We've seen kingdoms come and kingdoms go, but his kingdom reigns forever. So I want to be in the one that lasts forever. Amen. I want to be in the one that endures the test of time and struggle and trials and all those things. And that means getting into God's kingdom. It talks to me, you know, it says a kingdom, amen, it's an eternal kingship that rests with God. Can't nobody knock him off his throne. Amen. You might try. You might, you know, step on the throne of your life, but that's your problem. Amen. Because he still reigns over you. Amen. And he still can call down fire from heaven. But he's the loving God. He's not trying to do that right now. He's trying to draw us to him. Amen. And get us to line up with his way of doing things. Amen. It's the realm in which God's will is fulfilled. Now let me say it like this. I ain't not picking on nobody. But if your life isn't fulfilling the will of God, you're not operating in his kingdom. That's your kingdom. Amen. Or that's my kingdom. If I'm not doing the things that I need to do to fulfill his will, then I'm operating in my own kingdom. I mean, you can't be no simpler and no plainer than that. Right? That applies to all of us. Amen. So we got to get to a place, amen, to realize, amen. He's got a kingdom is a place where they have what we call governmental authorities that function. That's established by the king. Amen. And those that are placed in positions of authority are empowered by the king. Amen. And then we have the subjects. Amen. Those that are subject to the king. Amen. You got a ruler. Amen. And then the term is you got rulees. We're rulees. Amen. Amen. And we come under the authority of that king. Amen. And we can't tell the king, you know, well, I just don't like your rules. Right? No, because he's sovereign. You know, I think, you know, even as we were reading a few months ago, you know, through, not too long ago, but we were reading through the book of Esther. Pastor Linda touched on that a little bit, and how, you know, that Hadassah, you know, she got her place, or Esther, as we call her, she got her place because Queen Vashti didn't want to do what the king said do. Amen. The king called for Vashti to come. Amen. When he was having a big gala and he had all the, his princes and his rulers that were under him there. Amen. Over 127 provinces. Amen. They all came together for the gala, and he wanted to show off his bride. So he said, come with your crown and come. And she said, you ain't going to make no spectacle, if I can use my own words. You know. So she refused to come. And because she refused to do what the king said do, because he was sovereign in the land, because she refused to do what the king said do, what happened? He didn't say, okay, no problem. Give me somebody else. No. She lost her position. She was never, ever again allowed to come into the presence of the king. In fact, he had the authority to have her life taken. But he was a just king as far as it was. Some say, well, he was drunk. Well, you got to really understand the whole reading of that chapter. He wasn't inebriated to the point that he was just being foolish. Amen. But we got to understand, why did I even bring that up? Because kings have the authority to do and to say. Amen. And see, most of us, you know, people are really, really enamored a lot with, you know, royalty or fame or fortune or power. Amen. That's why, you know, some of these magazines and TV shows get so much money and attention, because we want to know what's going on, what's happening with the royalty, what's happening, amen, in Hollywood, what's going on. You can watch TV all day long as they're scrutinizing everything the president is doing, amen. You can look and see, amen, that we're caught up with those in authority, but we don't recognize the authority of God in the same level. Hello? We don't recognize his authority. You know, if we see those blue lights, see, y'all already know, right?
Right.
You know, you see them blue and red lights flashing behind you, what you do? Slow down and you start praying, let them go around me. Right? Because why? You recognize instantly. Even if the lights aren't on. If you see them in your vicinity, you straighten up your action. You check your speed and you make sure you use your turn signal, because we instantly recognize the human authority around us, right? And we give that honor and we respect it, because we know there are, what is it? Consequences. And they have the power to stop us, to take our license, amen, to throw us in jail, to bring us before the judge, to cost us money. So we recognize that authority, amen, because we know what it requires to operate in this earthly realm or the earthly kingdom. So we bow down and we try to get by with what rules we can. But when the authority is looking at us, we want to cross every T and dot every I to make sure that it doesn't come against us. Do we have that same feeling of instant fear or honor or respect when it comes to the kingdom of God? Y'all getting quiet on me. But see, I'm just trying to illustrate to us, you know, how we treat it, because we don't really understand it. We don't really see it. And because it's out of sight, it's out of mind, and I feel like, well, I can just do what I want, how I want, when I want, and no one better tell me nothing. But honey, child, you're going to stand before the king. Amen. And he's going to call us all to a place, amen, that we got to come in alignment with his will, amen, or we're going to wish we had, right? Amen. You know, so as we work on this kingdom agenda, amen, and putting the kingdom first, there's some, you know, some banners I just want to flash up here real quick, amen, so that we can be able to see, amen, because we're going to see these in the near future. The first one, it talks about, you know, the home of kingdom people. You see, that's what I like to refer to Living Faith as. The home of kingdom people. We want to become kingdom people. Amen?
Amen.
That means people who know who they are, people who operate within the kingdom, amen, are striving to fulfill the kingdom mandate or kingdom agenda. Amen. Realizing that he says his kingdom is in the world, but it's not of the world. In other words, the authority of God's kingdom does not come from the world, but it comes into the world so that it might change the world. But in order for it to change the world, it's got to change some people so we can represent him in the kingdom. So as we go forth, amen, now we know who we are. I'm a kingdom person. I'm not caught up with the agenda of the world more than I am yielding myself to the kingdom of God. I am a kingdom person. I'm a kingdom man. I'm a kingdom woman. With kingdom people, right? Right. Amen. The next one, it deals with how kingdom people are living to do God's will in the earth. Amen? Amen. See, I'm not living to do my own thing. He breathed life into Adam, amen, so that now Adam could fulfill his will. Amen. He gave Adam a job, amen, to keep the garden, to till it and to tend it, amen. But he gave him a work to do, even before he gave him a wife. Amen. So he has something for us to do, amen. And even when we look at the Lord's Prayer, how it speaks of those very things, as we'll look at here in a minute. But the next banner, amen, helps us, amen, to go to the next point, amen. And we're talking about thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Not my kingdom come or my will be done. But that's getting to a place that we're yielding and understanding that it's his kingdom that we want to come. We, you know, in that prayer, that's the first thing and, you know, Jesus told him, amen, when you pray, pray like this. Amen. And as we understand that, as we step into it, we begin to be able to function like he wants us to function. Let's take a look at Matthew. Hallelujah. We're going to turn to the book of Matthew. Thank you, Lord. And we're going to start at verse number 1-3. I just want to dig into that just for a minute. Amen. It said, at that time, at the same time came the disciples unto Jesus saying, who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? Now see, they're looking, how can I say? They're looking to the hereafter, when they say the kingdom of heaven, okay? So then who's going to be the greatest? Amen? Is their question. Who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them and said, verily I say unto you, except ye be converted. Everybody say converted.
Converted.
What's that converted from what? From your way of doing things. Amen? From the world's way of doing things. Amen. So he says, except ye be converted and become as a little child, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Now, understand what he's saying. And unless you be converted and come as a little child. In other words, recognize that you are a child of God. Amen. You're not your own person per se, but you're a child of God. And as his child, now we're under his rule and we're under his authority. Amen. And when we all walk in that authority, you know, as I was sharing before, you know, our children in our homes don't always come and ask us if there's enough gas in the car to take them to basketball practice. They just say, I need to go. Because they're assuming you got it covered, right? They don't check with you to make sure we paid the light bill so they can turn on the light. They can turn on the light, but they seldom turn them off. But they'll turn them on because they expect you've paid the bill. So they understand, okay, dad's doing his part, and we can what? Reap the benefits. Right? So they trust, amen, in mom and dad, amen, that make sure that when they come in and open the refrigerator, they're going to be food. When they turn on the faucets, they're going to be water. And they never ask how. Right? Because it's a given. We're going to be taken care of. He got this. Amen. But see, once they step out there on their own, they realize that, wow, all the freebies are over. And it's going to cost us something. See, so when we come into the kingdom of God, we should be able to have that same kind of trust and confidence in him. Amen. Yet in the kingdom of God, there's something that's required of us. Amen. We're going to get into that a little bit later. But I just want us to understand, coming to his kingdom, being his child, and trusting him, amen, we should have that kind of confidence and that kind of trust in the God that we serve. You know, but a lot of times, unless we're really thinking about kingdom purpose and kingdom agenda, amen, we don't really see him like that. So then we drop down, amen, and we look at verse number, our theme verse for this whole thing is 633. Amen. And it helps us to understand, amen, when we look at it, it's right here on the banner. But seek you what?
First.
Everybody say first.
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 Someone don't even want to say first because that takes them out of position. Right? That takes them out of position. I want to be first. You know, I was watching my little Bailey the other day. It was over to the house, and you know, kids have that. It's mine. You don't even have to train them. They just learn that word. It's just like it's downloaded from somewhere. It's mine. You know, and sometimes as Christians, we have that same problem, but we may not say mine, but in our mind, it's mine. It's my life, and I'm first in it. I'm the first one to play with it. I'm the first one. Come on, somebody. I decide what I want to do with it. I decide who I'm going to let in it because it's, no. It's his. Amen, because if we put him first, now he's going to instruct us. He's going to order our steps. He's going to tell us who to speak to, who to love on, amen, who to forgive, and that means everybody. So in other words, you can't be first. You don't want to say first. But he says, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Not your righteousness. Not what you think is okay. But his righteousness. Okay? That's a lot. That verse right there will set you straight just by itself. Because if we put him first, and we seek his righteousness. You know, sometimes his righteousness requires us to go through some stuff we don't want to go through. Huh? I can testify. I've been through some things, amen, walking after his righteousness and not my own, amen, and things that I did not want to go through. Am I the only one in the room? But he said, when you put him first, that means you got to be willing to sacrifice your righteousness. You got to be willing to sacrifice your right. Huh? Because your right is the foundation of your righteousness. Because what you say is right, based on your feelings and your emotions, amen, and what you think and how you want to see things happen, you got to be ready to release that and say, God, what is your will for my life? And when we get to that place, amen, that's when we're seeking his righteousness. That's when we're putting him first and not ourselves. Just understanding that. But I'm not through with the verse yet. See, because if we just do these things, do two things. Can you do two things for him? Huh? Put him first and seek his righteousness. Then he says, and all these things shall be added to you. Right? I just want to be happy. Well, put him first. Amen. And seek his righteousness. Hello? Right. Well, see, that's one of our problems. I just want to be happy, 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 happy. Huh? How about just saying I want to be holy?
Hallelujah.
That requires a little bit more work, right? Happy is subject to how you feel. Holy is subject to what he says. Big difference. Big difference that we got to be ready to grab hold of. But see, how did we get to verse number 33? You know, so we got to back up a little bit. You know, as Pastor Linda was speaking last week about being born again. Amen. And you know, as Jesus was speaking to John, amen, and speaking in John to Nicodemus, amen, he was very clear about being born again. But there was a verse, amen, that she didn't touch on, and I was waiting for her to touch on it. Then finally I said, well, God, you don't want her to touch on that because you want me to touch on that. Amen? I mean, a very good message, amen, because why? We have to be born again in order to come into the kingdom of God, in order to flow and operate according to his. But when we go back to John, the third chapter, and I want to read from verse 3 to verse 6, amen, just to bring this point out. It said, and Jesus said unto him, talking about Nicodemus, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except the man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. See it. Understand it. He can't see it unless he's born again into the kingdom, right? But look what he said. Except a man is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Nicodemus saith unto him, how can a man be born when he is old? Can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Because he's looking naturally, right? Now the fifth verse is the one that she didn't touch on, and it's very important that we get what this fifth verse is saying. Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of the Spirit, he cannot enter, into the kingdom of God. There's one thing to see it and to understand it, but it's a whole other thing to step into it. Amen? And to begin to do what it says. Because oftentimes we know what the Bible says. We understand what the Bible says. I can see that, you know, with my natural understanding, but am I willing and able to do what it says? To enter into his principles, amen, and that's when we have to be able to walk in the Spirit in order to enter into and do what his word is telling us to do, amen. That's why it can be difficult. I hear it, but I just can't do it. Why? Because you ain't walking in the Spirit. You're still in your flesh. You still in your feelings. You still in your opinion. You still, you know, you still in the world's way of thinking. Amen. You have to step into the Spirit, amen, and operate in order to do what he says to do, amen. And that's so important, amen. And he again, he says, into the kingdom of God. He said, that which is born is flesh, of the flesh is flesh, and that which is born of the Spirit is spirit. We got to be born of the Spirit. Notice, amen, the first spirit there is capitalized, talking about born of God. Amen? So we got to grab hold of that so that we can walk it out like he wants us to walk it out. But now let's drop down, amen. Let's go back to Matthew. I asked the question, how did we get to 633? For him to be saying, you know, telling them that they need to seek first the kingdom. Amen? Amen. So let's back up to verse 24 in Matthew 6. And he says this, no man, because this helps us give us some context and some perspective of what he's helping us to understand. He says, no man can serve two masters. In other words, you can't serve the world and God, or you can't serve yourself and God. You can't serve money and God. You can't serve your children and God. In other words, putting anything first ahead of him. He said, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Why? Because there's two kingdoms in conflict. Amen. And you got to realize and understand and choose and decide, can I put any more words to it, which one is going to be first. Amen? Because if we don't want to do his word, we're just in conflict with the word of God. Amen? So he lets us know, amen, they'll choose the one and they'll despise the other one. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought. Now, here is the key to being able to operate in the kingdom. Because what stops us from doing God's will is our minds. And how we see things and how we think and how we process it. And what we put the importance on that God doesn't seem to notice. So he's saying, therefore I say unto you, he's helping them, this is how you do this. He said, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is it, then I said, what you talking about? That's crazy, but hold on. Okay? This is Jesus talking. And my Bible is red. You know, so this is Jesus talking. He know what he's talking about. So he goes on to help us to understand. He said, is not the life more than meat and the body more than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not. In other words, they don't plant nothing. Right? He said, they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father, your heavenly Father, don't miss that. He said the heavenly Father. He said your Father. Amen. He's making it personal. Your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? He's kind of driving a point to help them. Amen. Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. He, you know, so all the stuff Solomon could do with all his money, the richest man, but yet he couldn't look as good as a daffodil. He couldn't look good and as laid out as a rose. Why? Because God decked them out. Look what he's saying. Wherefore, if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of what? Little faith. I don't have enough faith to trust him to take care of me, but he takes care of the grass. Now maybe we think that's the best he can do. He can't handle my problem. Not so. Not so. Therefore, take no thought. Say that with me. Take no thought.
Take no thought.
Is that easy? No, it's not. Because, you know, what we see gets our attention. Amen? It's right there in front of us. But don't you know God saw it before it got to you? He knew what you had need of before you even realized the need was coming. Amen? If we just trust him. So he said, take no thought, therefore, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. Talking about the worldly people. See, if all these things, that's what they're seeking. But he goes on to say, for your heavenly Father knoweth that you have need of all these things. That's how we got to the point. She said, don't worry about those things so much so, but seek ye first the kingdom of God. That's how we got there. He's letting us know all these things that get your attention, don't take no thought. Don't let them worry you. Don't let them bog you down. But seek the kingdom, to understand the kingdom, to be a part of the kingdom, to know the kingdom. And if you would do that, then he concludes it, amen, by saying he is able to give you all these things. Isn't that right? Because he knows that you have need of. One thing I want to stop and put an exclamation point on is, he said he's able to give us all these things that we have need of. In other words, he may not give you everything you want. Because some of the things we want, amen, would mess us up. Amen. Am I talking to anybody? Then so we got to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Therefore, he said, take therefore, in verse 34, take therefore no thought for the morrow. For the morrow shall take thought for the things of itself. Amen. Sufficient unto the day is the evil thereof. I got enough to deal with today. I don't have enough energy to worry about tomorrow. You know, as I shared before, amen, 90% of the things we worry about never happen. But we give 100% of our energy to worrying about it. Hello? So we got to flip that and turn it around, amen. Even as Jesus was preaching and teaching to his disciples, amen, Jesus came with an agenda, amen. And let's drop down. Oh, let's go back to the fourth chapter of Matthew real quick. Amen. He came for a purpose. And I really want us to catch this. Amen. Then 4 and 23, it says this, 23 and 24. And Jesus went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues and preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That was his agenda. He came to preach the gospel of the kingdom. And look what happened. And healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people. And the fame went throughout all Syria. And they brought unto him all sick people that were taken with divers diseases and torments, and those which were possessed of devils, and those which were lunatic, and those that had palsy, and he healed them. Wow. Because he's preaching the gospel of the kingdom. The gospel of the kingdom brings healing. The gospel of the kingdom sets people free. You notice, as we, you know, as I was saying this morning, it's not just not healing of the body, it's healing of the mind. He mentions the lunatics there. And the, you know, all that, you know, it's the healing of the whole person through the gospel, the preaching of the gospel. Amen. And Jesus, you know, he said this, and it was mentioned of him many times that this was his agenda. Amen. He didn't know, notice he didn't come just for salvation. He didn't come just to save us, but he came to equip us. Amen. To be able to operate with him, to spread the gospel. That's why he called the 12, amen. And as he called the 12, amen, he had a job for them to do. He told them, follow me and I'll make you fishers of men. And when he gave them instructions, it was the same thing, to go and to preach the gospel of the kingdom. This is how we draw people in, amen. It's not lifting up and heralding the power of the world, amen, and what it can do, but by demonstrating the power of the church, amen, and what it is able to do in the kingdom of God. Amen. And in Matthew 9:35, it says this, and Jesus went about all the cities and villages teaching in their synagogues, and again it says, and preaching the gospel of the kingdom and healing every sickness and every disease among, wow, the people. So healing is a part of this thing. Why are we sick? Because we're not functioning according to the kingdom. Amen. We're not seeing some things, amen, because we haven't really grasped hold of it all, amen, that he wants us to get a hold of so that we can walk it out like he wants us to walk it out. In the 10th chapter of Matthew, and Jesus sent, like I said, he sent his 12 disciples out. And look what it says in verse 5 and 8, 5 through 8. These 12 Jesus sent forth and commanded them, saying, go not into the way of the Gentile and into any city of the Samaritans. Enter ye not. In other words, these areas are forbidden. You know, and there was a reason for it back then, and I can bring that around even today. You know, he's speaking to us. There's some places we don't need to be going. Amen? Hallelujah. I'll leave that at that. Hallelujah. But he goes on to say, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preaching, saying the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In other words, he's telling them, I want you to go preach the kingdom and let them know the kingdom is at hand. But then look what it comes with it. Heal the sick, cleanse the leper, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely you have received, freely give. There's benefit to the kingdom. See, why the healing and why all these things? Because when people saw signs and wonders, they came running. You know, we just read where it said they went and brought all of them to him because why? They saw the signs and wonders, but Jesus didn't come just to be a miracle worker for signs and wonders in this natural world. He came, amen, to save the souls, amen, and to recruit them into the kingdom of God. But we know, amen, when people see miracles and signs and wonders, they come. When they saw the feeding of the 5,000 and the 4,000, they came running because of the wonders, and that gave him an opportunity to preach the gospel of the kingdom to them. So people are looking for those things, amen. So I believe he's still able to do those things today. But we got to be in a place where we're ready to usher in what God wants to do as we yield ourselves unto him. Amen. And then Matthew 24, I'm about to wrap it up, but Matthew 24, 12 through 14 says this, and because iniquity shall abound, the love of many shall wax cold. Now that one said, do we see iniquity abounding in our land, in our world? Why? Because people are not operating according to the kingdom of God. But he goes on to say, but he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for a witness unto all nations, and then shall the end come. Do we see the emphasis that he puts on the kingdom gospel? Not the gospel of prosperity, not all these other gospels, amen, but the gospel of the kingdom. people understanding God's way of doing things. And if we can just get a hold of that, which is our goal, is getting a hold of God's way of doing things so that we can fulfill, amen, this that we're talking about, putting the kingdom first, we're going to see some great things. Amen. In our own lives, amen, and in the lives of those around us that he allows us to touch. He allows us to reach, amen, as we rise up, amen, and overcome some of the things that the world is falling into. As we rise up, amen, and function according to his agenda and not ours, overcoming things that the world and other people can't handle because they don't have the right perspectives. We got to bring it to them. We got to be the example. But we got to understand how to do that, how to function in this kingdom. So I encourage you, come to the Bible studies. Amen. Sunday mornings, we're going to dig in, but we're going to get this kingdom thing under control. Amen. We're going to get this kingdom thing so that now it's going to be on the forefront of your mind. Amen. What would Jesus do? How would he do it? How would he have me to respond to this rebellious child? How would he have me to respond to this spouse that's driving me crazy? How would he have me to respond to these people on my job that's calling me out my name? How would he have me to respond as a kingdom man or a kingdom woman? How would he have me to respond? Because I can't do, you know, I can't do me and him be glorified. Amen. Because when I do me, I'm just trying to glorify me. You know, but how would he have me respond? Amen. See, when I do me, I'm unforgiving. I'm selfish. Amen. I'm prideful. I'm angry. You know, and y'all can just keep on adding and adding and adding, right? When you do you. But when you do him, it changes the whole perspective. Now I'm yielded to his purposes and his plan, and I'm loving and I'm forgiving, and I'm willing to, catch this, I'm willing to suffer for righteousness' sake when I do him. But when I do me, I ain't suffering for nobody. You better get out of my face. I ain't going to take that. That's you. That I. See that I. Got to get that I out of there. You know? I would, but get your butt out the way and do it God's way. That's what we got to do. Quit making excuses. Quit trying to find ways out of walking in his righteousness. That's the kingdom way of doing things. When we yield ourselves to God, he is our vindicator. Amen. Isn't that right? He is the lover of our souls. He's our forgiver. Amen. We don't have to defend ourselves because why? He said, vengeance is mine. You be all right. You just do what I say do. Let him talk about you. I got you. And we went, can we keep our flesh under subjection long enough? They'll see what happens. We get impatient. God taking too long. And I got to take matters and, see, y'all know, I got to take matters in my own hands. No, you don't. Just trust him. Stay in your place. Amen. And let God be God. And when you do that, you'll see him glorified in your life and through your life. Let's stand. And to me, it's a no-brainer, but we just got to put in the work. Notice I said we got to put in the work. I ain't saying I got it all together. Because there's been a few times this week trying to tell I had to hold my tongue. Because I'm the one that, you know, he spoke to me, said, be positive. I'm like, okay, it's all good, you know, see, but you got to catch that negativity, kill it. If you want to be a kingdom person, you can't be a negative person. You got to kill this negativity and speak life and not death. Life and death or what? In the power of this right in your mouth. Your deliverance is in the power of your mouth. What do you say about it? Keep speaking life. Speak life. Say, well, what if it's true? Well, it might be true, but are you speaking life in this situation? Right? Say, all right. It's all good. It's going to be well. Amen. I keep thinking, and I haven't been able to get that out of my mind, you know, thinking about, you know, the woman, amen, and she went to find the man of God when her child had died, amen. You know, she was grief, there was grief in her soul, amen, but she had to continue to say, it is well. Everyone asks her, how you doing, what's going on? It's well. It's well. So when you feel like getting negative, it's well. It's all good. God got it. Amen. And if we just change the speech, it changes the circumstances. It changes our outlook. Because why? I want a kingdom outlook in everything I do. Hallelujah. So if you're struggling in that area, amen, just pray. Capture every thought. Amen. I open up the altar. Amen. We just want to pray. I know we had altar call earlier. But just bringing every thought, capturing those thoughts. Let's just start there. Amen. Those thoughts, those words, the negativity. You know, let's start there. And you just cast those things down. This is not a kingdom mindset, a kingdom response. And I want to have the right response that glorifies him. So, Father, you lead me. You tell me what to do. Hallelujah. You word my mouth. Amen. As the scripture says, let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be acceptable in your sight, my Lord, my Redeemer. If we would just allow that to happen, we'll be all right. Hallelujah. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you, Lord, for just giving us the opportunity to be a part of your kingdom. Not that we earned it, not even that we deserve it. But God, you have chosen us. You have chosen us. We didn't choose you. Your word tells us that we didn't choose you, but you chose us. And you called us and you drew us unto yourself because you have something far better and greater for us than what we can attain on our own. You have eternity set in our hearts, God. Father, we thank you right now. So as we come before you, Lord, you purge us. I think about how David said in Psalms 51, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. And Lord, that is what we're asking you this morning, to purge our hearts and purge our minds, God. Lord, and give us a mind to operate according to your principles, according to your righteousness, according to your word, God. The plan that you have for our lives, Lord, we want to be able to fulfill it, because you let us know in Jeremiah, you know the thoughts and the plans that you have for us. Thoughts of good and not evil. Lord, that we may be able to have an expected end. We want to arrive at that right place. The end that you have in mind for us, Lord, and not what the adversary has in mind for us, of destruction and loss, God. So we pray right now, God, that we will come into alignment, Lord, with your will and your spirit. Help us to embrace your kingdom way of doing things. The kingdom principles, God, that are being sent into our heart, our mind, our spirit, that we can grab hold of it. We thank you, God, for being our deliverer. Deliver us from ourselves. Not just from the world, but from ourselves, God. That we can be saved, Lord, and we can fulfill your mandates, Lord, and we can be in right relationship with you, Lord, and experience all your love and the peace, Lord, that you want, the joy, God, that you want us to operate in, that comes only from you. So we thank you. And Father, I pray for anyone here that has not accepted you as Lord and Savior, maybe they need to make a new commitment, God, that they would have a heart, Lord, to step out, and just give their life over to you. Even those that have been in church for a while, Lord, but have been just off course and wayfaring, God, I pray, God, for a renewed dedication, a renewed commitment, God, of doing things your way, Lord, that you might deliver us from the snare of the fowler. We pray in the name of Jesus that your will be done. These things we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, if that's you, amen, and you need to recommit yourself or maybe make a commitment for the first time, I invite you to come. We love to just pray with you. Amen. A commitment unto God, a commitment unto you know, that walk, amen. Lord, I just want to be saved. I just want to know that it's well between me and you, well with my soul. We can just do that. And maybe you're here and you don't have a church home and you want to be part of Living Faith, you want to make this your church home, we invite you to come on up, amen. And we will just love on you, amen, and just thank God for your growth together. Come on down. Beautiful couple, amen. Just come on down, amen. Just thank God for your desire and your decision, amen, to come and be a part. Hallelujah. Amen. Anybody else? You know, the Bible tells us they that are planted in the house of God will flourish, amen, in his courts, amen. We want to flourish, but you got to get some roots down so you can bring some fruit up, amen. See, we want to see the fruit of your life, amen, as a part of this body. I believe everybody has something to offer. He's given us all a gift, a talent, an ability, and we just like to tap into that, amen, so that we can grow together, learn together, amen, and walk together in him, being encouraged and enhanced at the same time, amen. So we thank God for you coming, amen. Well, give me a micro. I'd like to have you introduce yourself to your new church family, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. In the classes back there, amen. Jamal, you got anything you want to say?
Well, my wife, she's more than talker, but hey, everybody.
Say hi. Amen. Come on, amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. Glad to have y'all. Come on, give them the mic. Amen. Introductions. And who's the talker over here? Let me see. Let me guess. Well, I'll give it to you then.
So we've been here for a while.
Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we thank God. She's like, oh. See, I'm well in Jesus' name, right? Come on now. Speak positive. I'm well in Jesus' name. Amen. So we thank God for these two couples, amen, families coming on in and being a part, amen. So y'all stay there as we dismiss. We just want to love on you, give you a living faith welcome, amen. We thank God for you. Amen, it's been good. Now, today is our first Sunday. Fellowships, core teams, amen. So if you don't have a core team, just see Pastor Sam over here, amen, and he will direct you until we can get you hooked up, amen, but he'll direct you, amen, but that means we got four different core teams in here. We break the congregation up, and on the first and second months of the year, amen, we have a fellowship with each core team. And then on the third month of the quarter, we get together the whole church and has a fellowship on the first Sunday. Amen. Week? It is month. The first Sunday of the month. I got it right, right? I got it? Okay. Okay, thank you. Okay, amen. I appreciate you trying to help me if I was off, but amen. So each quarter, amen, we make sure that we get some time, amen, to maybe go. I mean, last year, y'all did a bowling challenge between two of the teams and see who won, amen. Sometimes you just break bread together, play games together. But get to know those that you worship with. And fellas, the Bible says, know them that labor among you. Isn't that right? Amen. So we want to know you outside of just the church service. We want to build relationship. Amen. That's why we do what we do. Amen. So if that's all, turn over to Elder Willie to close us out. Oh, you got it. Thank you, God.
So, oh, thank you, God.